This is the Kurt Winslow Show. All views you're about to hear are solely mine, so please do not be so easily offended. Now on to the show. Hey, welcome to the show. This is the Kurt Winslow Show with me, your host, Kurt Winslow. Not going by the former name if you've ever heard me before, because this is the name I originally wanted to go with in the first place for being talk radio, if I ever went into it. If you know who I am, that's great. If you don't, that's fine, too. This is a radio pseudo name. Sitting here drinking my Earl Grey tea with a little bit of cream in it. Yeah, that's why the show is called My Life and Bits and Bobs, because I do like a lot of British TV, and I do like to Dutch drink some tea. Hot tea, that is. I'm going to go into that intro. I'm going to change. I just did that very fast, but the reason why I wanted to make it a little creepy at the beginning and a little bouncy at the end is that's the way the world is right now. We don't know what we're going to get. It's like nuts out there, man. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy. I've never seen in the last few weeks there's been things that have been really dealt with me even before Charlie Kirk, but even that really amped it up, that it's opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I'm going to bring that up in a little bit, and I'm going to start the first part just telling why I'm doing this podcast, and this is called the Kurt Winslow Show. There will be times that I will do news things that are happening related in the world, and that'll be a separate, it'll be on the same show, but it'll be a separate theme and a separate intro and a separate podcast. And then there'll be times that I will do Bible teachings, which will have a different intro, different, you know, theme. I won't get into politics and everything in those particular shows. But in the news shows, I may sometimes give a little reason of why people need to really be putting their thinking caps on about some things. I will get into the Jimmy Kimmel suspension and the Charlie Kirk, what all happened down there at the end of the show, toward the end. And I got some clips I'm going to play. Giving a shout out to Eric Larson. That's where the clips come from, his show, but they're not him. It's clips that he had on his show. But he's in a couple, but not really about, it's not really related to him. But great show. If you don't get a chance, it's on iTunes. He's out of Atlanta. He's actually on WSB Radio, but he does a podcast of his show, and I will listen to it usually every night while I'm at work, because I work third, and he'll have a segment, three segments a day from each hour, and I usually listen to each one. What I like about him is he's not complete. You know, he is a conservative, but he's not completely biased. If the conservatives do something stupid, he'll say they did something stupid. And if the left does whatever. I don't even think there is a Democratic Party anymore. You do have a Democratic Party to an extent, but you have these progressives now that have just went completely loco. I mean, loco. That's the only way I know to put it. And I'm going to show how in a little bit. But the first thing I wanted to get into before we get the show started is I just want to tell a little bit about my life, who I am, where I come from. I am born February 28th, 1975. I was born, so yeah, you can do the math. Not that I worry about my age. I never have. My memory goes back very far. Matter of fact, for a lot of years, I thought this one memory I had was a dream, and when I was in my mid-20s, maybe late 20s, something like that. I brought this memory, this dream, what I thought was a dream, up to my grandmother, and she said, no, that ain't a dream. That happened when you was about 6 months old. And I remembered it pretty well. So my memory goes very far back. That's why I tell people, be careful what you do around your kids, because you never know. You know, oh, they're just 6 months old. They won't remember nothing. Not necessarily. I remember seeing the Exodus when I was about two. So there's a lot of things I recall. My first experience with God that I can recall is when I was about three. I was at a church in Lithia Springs, Georgia, which I meant to tell you, I was born in Dallas, Georgia. Didn't live there. I don't know why. I've never asked. Maybe I should one day, if anybody knows now, why I was born in Dallas, Georgia. But I actually lived in Marietta when I first grew up as a child, till I ended up moving to Douglasville around the age of five. But when I was three, I went to a church that was in Lithia Springs. And it doesn't matter about the denomination, because the denomination doesn't matter. I don't even know what the preacher preached. I mean, I was 3 years old. I don't remember that. But I remember going to the altar with my grandmother, which had a great influence on me. I went to the altar with her, and for some reason, I don't know, God dealing with me or what, I just began to weep at the altar at 3 years old. God was already dealing with me at that age. And it would be about, and I went to church, a church in Lithia Springs later on down the road when I moved in with my mother at five, because my grandparents raised me first, and then my grandfather passed away in 79, which was the result of me moving to Douglasville. And I went to this one church, and the pastor there had a great influence on me, and didn't know it at the time, didn't know it till years later. He actually went to the same school as, which I'm going to mention in a little bit, Reverend Angeli. He went to the same school as him, and I didn't even know it till years later. I was well into my 20s, and he was just 2 years below Reverend. He was, when Reverend graduated, he was a sophomore, and they both went to the same school. So even though he didn't get into the depth of the Reverend did, he was a very, very good preacher and a very good guy, and I know he's in heaven today. And but I used to sing. I remember the first time I sang at the church. I was probably about six, singing Jesus Loves Me in front of the congregation and things like that. I remember the Sunday schools very vividly. They had a Sunday church just like our church does, where the kids didn't come into the congregation. They had their own church down there and everything. It was ran very similar in that fashion. But I was introduced to Reverend Angeli, and if you don't know who I am, about anything about it, I do go to Cathedral. And the first time I went to the Omni in Atlanta, which is no longer there anymore. It was demolished a number of years ago. But I went there, and even at seven, somewhere around that age, I knew it was real, because I paid attention to people. And I was noticing people in the congregation. I was noticing people that were sitting there watching. I paid attention to everything. And even then, I knew there was something different about this. And so anytime he would come to the Atlanta area, for a number of years, we would always go. Or my mom would take me after I moved in with my aunt. A lot of things occurred there that I ended up moving in with my aunt when I was nine. And my aunt and uncle raised me, which I'm grateful for. If they hadn't raised me, and I don't know what I would have turned out like, to be honest. And but my mom would take me, and I would, you know, pay close attention to everything. And I developed Crohn's when I was young, 15. Had an emergency surgery. One of three times, and I won't go into all of them, but one of three times I could have died in my life. That's one of three times that I could have been a dead man. But I got to the emergency room, got my surgery, and everything. And a number of months later, Robert was in Atlanta. And I remember exactly what I was wearing. I was wearing a red button-up shirt. But like anybody, you know, it's just something you do by instinct. He was doing the pointing out of people, and he pointed in my direction. He said, you have a problem with food digestion. And your stomach, and whatever. And I said, I just turned around and started looking at everybody like, uh-huh. You know, who's he talking to? He said, yeah, you with a red shirt on. And I got up. He was standing in the center of the aisles that they had made. And I got toward him. But before I even got to him, the power of, he lifted his hand, but the power of God shot through him and into me before I, he never touched me. And I'd hit the floor before anything. And from that moment on, I've never had an issue. I've never had a recurrence of Crohn's, and I'm 50 years old. Matter of fact, I'm a very healthy individual. I've only had flu twice in my life. I hardly ever get a cold. And I attribute that to that power that was shot in my body. I still tell people that to this day because I was a sickly kid. I had ear infections. I was sick all the time. And so that's one of the reasons why I believe in this ministry. You know, the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to get on to this real quick. Reverend Angeli died May the 7th, 2021. The fact of the matter is he was a human being. He was a man. The power of God worked in his life because he honored God and he lived for God and fasted much, but he was still just a man. I've been called an earnest angel worshiper. I've been told I was in a cult. I've had all this stuff all my life. Trust me, it ain't nothing you don't know. You can't tell me that I ain't already been told. I've already been told it all. I admire the man, and he's in heaven today, but I admired the man. But I did not worship the man. There's a difference. I admire Paul. I admire Moses. I look forward to meeting them in heaven just as much as I look forward to meeting Reverend. Big difference. But he was still just a human being. And when he died, we had people leave the church, people doing this. You know what? If you're listening and you're one of those, I hope you know you're a shameful if you've left the church for that reason. You could build all the billboards from here to California. It don't make any difference. You've not honored his memory at all. Because Reverend Angeli would not be for you leaving the ministry. And if you think, oh, we're not going to Africa anymore, let me tell you something. Technology was brought on by God. And we reach more people in a weekend through this ministry now than we could in 3 and 4 crusades. Yes, the devil uses technology, but technology was given by God to bring forth the gospel. And this is the social media, Facebook, all that stuff. That is the final step. There is nothing else beyond that. That's it. People don't watch TV much anymore about things, really much at all, unless it be something stupid. 9 times out of 10. Radio, that's the thing of the past. Podcast is the, you know, those are in. Those people that have left TV to go to podcast. But radio's a dying. It's hanging on by a limb. I've said it years ago. And he was just a man. And for you to leave this ministry because he's not there anymore. There was people that actually thought he was going to be raised from the dead. Now that's when you're the Kool-Aid drinker. That's when you worship. There's a difference. I never had that thought in my mind at all. Never crossed my mind. You got to remember, what did Reverend say years before? Years before he ever died. People have even said, oh, he said he was going to make the rapture. He never stated it was a fact. He said he wanted to make the rapture. And if it was God's will, though, he would be willing to go to win souls before the rapture. He never said it before a fact. As a matter of fact, he had a vision of the rapture years before he died. And I think the reason why he had that vision is because the Lord knew he was not going to make the rapture. So he gave him that experience. But he didn't know that at the time. He thought that was like a vision of what was to come because he had the blessed hope, just like Paul said to have. That statement was never made. But he did make this statement. He said, just as John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus' first coming, he was the forerunner of the second coming. And what did John the Baptist say about himself later? He said, I must diminish so that he'll be exalted, talking about Jesus. He said, I must be diminished while him be increased. That was what he said. And it was getting to the point that it had to be. Because we did have people, I hate to say it, let me tell you something, ain't nobody loved Reverend Andrew more than me. There is people that probably have been raised in this ministry. As a matter of fact, I know there is, because I've heard of how some of them talk, that I love them more than they did. And they were raised here. But still, I knew the ministry still went on. People say I'm an earnest angel. Well, why didn't I quit? Why didn't I want to leave the church? It's not about it's about what's taught, not about who's doing what. So if you're listening, I hope you get it, wake up or whatever. If there's anything to wake up, I hope. Been married twice. First time I was married, we moved here in 99 and everything and whatever. I'm not getting into all that, but I will say I think it was more friendship. And while I think you should marry and be friends with the person you marry, but it should be more than just roommates. There should be something there deeper than that. And I just don't think, honestly, we ever had anything more than friendship. And that's a fact. This person I've known for 30 years, I can't even talk to him anymore. They tried to contact me a few months ago, trying to tell me not to go to church and all this kind of stuff. I had to cut them off. I blocked them out of my life. I want nothing else to do with them. They think they're saved. See, you can go so far with God, and he'll let you believe anything you want to believe. That's Bible. There's people walking the earth think they're saved. There's preachers that think they're saved, and they're nowhere near it. He said he'll bring them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. He'll let them believe it. He's not going to, he'll go so far to help somebody, and then he'll just say, if they want to believe it, let them believe it. He's not going to, his patience is a lot less now than it used to be. And the only thing that's kept me in the mercy I've been with all the mistakes I've made is I've never, ever turned my back on truth. Ever. Never will. To me, it's foolish. I've seen too much. How some people have been in this ministry and gotten a miracle and seen the things they see and then walk out. I mean, if you go out into sin because you're just full of self and you want to do what you want to do, that's different. It's not right, but it's different. But when you leave here burning books and doing all kinds of craziness, I don't get that. I don't get that at all. But then I met someone and got married again later on down the road. We were together for a long time before we got married. We had two boys. This is my two sons I have now. And during that time, I lost my grandmother. And that was what I thought at the time was the deepest valley I ever had in my life. There's nothing. I thought there was nothing that could be any deeper than that. And it was a deep valley. That funeral, I don't even remember it hardly. That's how deep it was. I don't even hardly recall that funeral. I just remember standing in front of the casket for I don't know how long. I was in total shock. I was the closest person I've ever been close to. There's no words I can even express it with, man. She was everything. There's no other words I know to explain it. One of the finest women I've ever known. Don't even compare. I've met nobody since or before like her. None. But then I my second marriage, it was just, and I'm not knocking anybody. It's just as much my fault as it was mine, but it was stalling. People, you know, people change or whatever the case may be, however you want to put it. And we just grew distant, and but I know without a shadow of a doubt that I loved her. That wasn't just friendship. And I'm not saying that to get anything or get a rise out of nobody, because that's done. It's over and done. But it, when I left, this is a lesson to you from God, too. Sometimes people heal physically or emotionally, either one. And they do get healed real quick. And that's what I thought I was going to do. I thought it was going to be instantaneous. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to go down, get saved, get told, and everything's going to be great. It don't always happen that way. And it took me a long time to come out of that valley. That's the deepest. And a lot of the valley was my own doing, but still, it took me a long time to come out of that one. And to the point that I'll never go back into that again of any sort. People want to know, I'm like, let me tell you something. I don't know, for reasons I won't get into on here, I don't know that I'm free or not to marry again. But let me tell you, I don't care. I have no desire. I don't trust but one person in this world right now, and that's the only person I trust. And they know who they are. They've listened. They're listening. That's the only person I trust. Because I've been betrayed by friends. I've been betrayed by family. I've been betrayed by a lot of people in my life. And I just don't trust everybody anymore. And I don't knock anybody, but there's people that I thought were friends from church. Never heard a word, never heard nothing. I could have dropped dead off the face of the earth and they'd never known. And I don't hold it against them, because I don't go to church for people. If you think I go to church for people, you're sadly mistaken, because I don't. But still, and yet, you know, people say, well, there's, they be, and I love it when a sinner says they don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites. Let me tell you something. It don't matter if it's Grace Cathedral. It don't matter if it's the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church down the street. It don't matter. Every church has got hypocrites. It don't matter where you go. That's why I couldn't go to church when I wasn't right, because I couldn't be a hypocrite. But see, I can't stay out of God very long, because I don't get any pleasure in sin. I don't know how people do. I can have pleasure for a season. The Bible even tells you there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I can't do it for very long. I don't know how people do. I was thinking about this woman the other day, and I won't say who she was, but she was a famous actor. She died, I don't know, a couple years ago or whatever. She was 99 years old. And all the way up to her death, all she did was tell crude jokes and vulgar stuff all the way up until the time she died. Never giving one moment's thought to God. How do you do that at 99 years old? Never give no thought to the life afterwards. I couldn't have done it. And I don't have happiness. I don't have peace in sin. It's pleasure. That's all it is. It's not joy. There's no happiness in it. None. Anybody that thinks they've got it, they're deceived. You don't have happiness in fussing and hollering. There's no that. You say, oh, I love so-and-so. Yeah, you might. But even if you do, it's not complete and total happiness, and you're not sold out to that mate, no matter what you want to tell yourself. Because there's no happiness in it. And if you've got friends that don't want to talk to you, or friends that's got to hide from you, you don't have friends. You got associates. That's all you have. I don't claim nobody is a friend unless I would lay my life down for them. And how many I got ain't many. The only thing in this life I live for is my kids. That's it. Bar none. It's the only reason I have to live. There is no other reason in this life. The Lord already knows when they've gotten grown, and they need to be where they need to be, and they've made their choice, and they decide to do whatever they do. If the Lord tarries that long, he can take me home. I don't want to live to be old. I don't want to live to be 80. have no desire. I have no reason to be here outside of my kids. And you want me to tell you how much my kids mean to me? I just turned down a job where I work at to be an assistant manager because I don't know how I'd be able to do it with picking my kids up, taking them to school and everything else, and somebody calls out of work, I got to be there at a moment's notice. I turned it down. I said, I appreciate the offer, but my kids come first. You don't have many people that'll make that sacrifice even as a parent. It's because it's either self or the almighty dollar. It's on the throne or both. God will provide for me. He'll make a way. Because I know he will. Because I believe every promise in that book. So yeah, I've had struggles. I haven't even begun to touch the surface, and I'm not going to, of what all I've had to deal with. You just don't even know. But I'm going to come out of it. And I want you to pray for me and my kids. Because I don't know what I'm going to have to do yet involving a particular incident and something going on. I won't go into it, but just pray for God's will to be done. Because I have a constitutional right. And I'm not going to ever give my kids up, ever, for nothing. They'll put me in the ground first before I'll ever give my kids up. And I don't go to a cult. I've studied every cult known to man, people. I've studied every religion. I've studied Jim Jones. I've studied Heaven's Gate. I've studied David Koresh. I've studied the Zions. I've studied everything there is to know about cults. And we're not even close to a cult. Not even close. People hate truth. That's just it. If it goes against them, they want to claim cult. Some of the cults are calling us cults. And they don't even know it. They're cults. This positive thinking junk they got in the world, that's cult. Whether they want to know it or not. It's all about what they can do. All about me, me, me. They're on the throne. That's a cult. Many of them have led people down the wrong path. Many of those positive thinking groups. It's not a cult to want Jesus. It's not a cult to want to give your whole life. The Bible says it's only your reasonable service. People want to quote the Bible, never even read it. Want to tell you what Jesus thinks, and they don't even know what he thinks. Having a clue. Never even opened it up. They'd have to blow the dust off to get to it. But they want to tell you what Jesus thinks. You need to get in there and really find out what he thinks. You'll find out it ain't what you think. He was a no holds barred. He told it exactly straightforward and to the point. Even more so than I'm even doing. He said if you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you'd cast into the sea. He wasn't talking about just little kids. He was talking about Christians in general. And everybody worried about defending. You don't have to defend Charlie Kirk. Just pray for those people. Pray for those people that are messed up in the head. Because trust me, God said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. And there is going to have something come on, and it's going to happen. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but somebody's going to pay for the way they've acted in this country toward that man's death. Watch my and mark my words. It will happen. And it ain't because I'm wanting it to happen. It's not that I'm trying to curse people. It's because it's Bible. You have to reap what you sow. Sometimes it's before you get to hell. Not all the reaping happens, you know, heaven and hell. There's people that reap what they sow here on earth. I'm going through what I'm going through in the last year because I turned my back, not trying to go deeper with God. And I take responsibility for that. I never blame nobody for my actions. That's another thing I believe I'm having a lot more mercy for, is I never blame no one. I'm responsible for me. If you're a person that wants to blame everybody, you're a low human being. Look in the mirror. You can't blame. It doesn't matter. Nobody and no devil can make you do anything, because we're all born with free choice. So anything you've done, don't blame everybody else. You might have been in some, and I get tired of hearing about white supremacy. There is no white supremacy. There was back in the 50s and the 60s and all that during the Jim Crow days. And segregation, yes, I do believe there was white supremacy there. I believe there was white supremacy during the slave days. Of course there was. But you can't name one thing that you can do that I can't do now, or that I can do that you can't do now. Nothing. Not one thing. You can go to college. You can get an education. You can better yourself. I don't care if you're born in the ghetto. I've heard stories of successes of people that were born in the ghetto, and they came out of it, and they're millionaires now. So don't give me, oh, we don't have a shot, we don't have a chance. You got just as much as chance as anybody. And I don't say it because I'm a racist. I'm saying it because it's a fact, and I'm nowhere near racist. That's what Charlie Kirk was trying to get across. And they won't talk about, oh, he was against civil rights. You don't even read the fine print before and after what he said. You only read one comment, never even read the context. That's how a lot of people read the Bible. They can tell you John 3:16, but they can't tell you verse 17 and 18. They don't read the context. Charlie Kirk said he was against the Civil Rights Act for this reason. He said there should have been a bill for racial discrimination, that all people are equal. He said the Civil Rights Act was a blanket law that caused a lot of things in this country that can also be brought into that equation. Like, genders wanting to get changed when they're 10 years old, they could try to put that under the Civil Rights Act. That's what he meant. I've been watching Charlie Kirk a long time. I knew exactly what he meant. But, you know, the progressives out there want to change everything around and twist it. Don't have a clue what they're talking about. They take one line. Yes. Let me tell you what the man was killed for. And this is why I say that something's going to happen. Yes, he was a political activist. We can say that. But why was he a political activist? Because his values were Christian values. And what people didn't like, and they called him hatred, was because he spoke the truth, because God doesn't go for that stuff. It's plain and simple. If you think a 10-year-old should walk into his mom and daddy and tell him, I want to go get mutilated and change my sex and go to a hospital and sign off on it, then you got real problems. There's no way I would ever sign off on any one of my kids having something like that done. Now, if they're 18, they want to go do something, that's up to them. I can't make their choices. But you can't expect. We got a grown man that had his done. That dude that was with the Kardashians, whatever his name was, he had his done. And I don't know if you've watched the interviews, but he regrets it. And he's a grown man. And you think a 10-year-old's mind's developed enough to make a final decision like that? Wake up. No, I don't want. If I had a daughter, I don't want a grown man that thinks he's a woman walking in the locker room. where I have a daughter at. Sorry. Just don't. I'm glad I don't have a daughter because I don't know what I'd do. I'd really hope Grace would help me to keep myself cool. So, no, I don't think that some of the things I think most of what he said, all of it, just about that I've ever heard, was spot on. If you don't like the Bible, that's between you and him, between you and God. But he was assassinated, basically, when you get down to the real element of it, because he was a Christian. Because all the values he brought to the platform of political was of Christian values. He didn't even listen to the world's music. There was people that came to him and asked him about certain singers. He said, I couldn't even tell you what songs they sang. Oh, but we want to idolize them people. Let's idolize them musicians and them people that get out there. We want to make them out to be gods. Let's forget about a man that's got some Christian values and thinks things about life that makes sense and have a family element with a father and a mother in a home. They don't tell you about the stuff he has done for African Americans. They don't tell you nothing about that. Then you got Jimmy Kimmel being suspended for some stupid comment he made, which was dumb. But let me tell you why he got suspended, which will probably be termination. He'll probably be doing a podcast for it. It's over with. But here's what, let me tell you why he got suspended. It wasn't Donald Trump. Neither was Stephen Colbert. He had nothing to do with either one of them people getting fired. And if you think that, you're the biggest dummy I ever known of. Because ABC is a liberal network. It is not conservative. All those networks are liberal. They ain't none of them conservative. The media today, we're overran by liberal comments. There's very few that are conservative networks now. They wouldn't have listened to Donald Trump come in there and tell them fire him if they wanted to. Here's why they were let go. Their ratings suck. Plain English. Jimmy Kimmel couldn't even get advertisements in the local networks anymore. Nobody wanted to be on it. You want me to tell you? Let me do some basic math for you real quick so you can figure it out. Now, y'all pay attention now. This is it. This is some real basic math for you. When you got a president that won by a landslide. He beat Kamala Harris by one of the biggest, margin was huge. So you know at least 60% of all the votes, probably even more than that, were for Trump. And then you get these two comedians that get up there, they call them, and all they do is bash Trump every single episode. Who's going to turn the station and quit watching him? The 60-something percent people that voted for Donald Trump, nobody's going to watch him because they don't think they're funny. They think they're stupid. So what happens to the ratings? Right down the toilet. So when this idiot got up, Jimmy Kimmel, and he made his little statement on TV about making fun more or less of the assassination in his own way, or how the conservatives are taking it, ABC saw a way out. That's it. They were wanting to get rid of him anyway. When his contract ran out, they wouldn't have rehired him. But they got an easy way out. There's some math lesson for you. Don't blame it on Donald Trump. It's funny how the liberals love free speech when it's in their favor, but they don't want nothing to do with free. But they think every time the conservatives do something, it's against free speech. Did they think about Roseanne Barr when she was canceled? How about when Obama went and sued nuns because they wouldn't have the kids get abortions in there? Do you know about that? Huh? Or how about when Obama had a YouTuber arrested? You hear about that? Oh, we don't hear about that, though. Because that's A-OK. Obama did it. I'm not against any black. I'm not against anybody for president that makes sense. I don't vote. I don't vote for nobody because I don't think any of them's worth voting for. I think the world's in such a mess, I don't think any of them's worth the hoot. But if I did vote, I wouldn't have voted for Kamala Harris. It didn't have nothing to do with her color. It didn't have nothing to do with her sex. I listened to the woman several times, and all I ever heard her talk about was bash Trump, never said anything she was going to do, talked about Christians when they came into a facility and said they were at the wrong place, and then I heard her get up and talk about how to wash collard greens. Okay, maybe with any luck, if she runs for president again next time, what she's talking about, maybe we'll get a recipe this time. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's all I heard from the woman. And half the time she looks, and I'm not saying maybe this is the way she acts, but most of the time when I seen her on there, she was cackling, looked like she was drunk or on drugs half the time. I don't know. So do you think I'm going to vote for that? No. The Democratic Party needs to quit worrying about her being their choice and find somebody worth, somebody that can actually win. Because I don't think she's it. But anywho, I've got a couple of clips I'm going to play here just about Charlie Kirk with the district attorney and a couple of others. I'm going to get to the end of the show and explain about some things. Here we go.
Because I need to set the stage here for you. This is the district attorney, Utah County, Utah.
I'm not answering, Robinson. Since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. Robinson, I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. Again, you are all I worry about, love. That came from Robinson. Roommate, I'm much more worried about you. Robinson, don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent. The search for Robinson's residence. Police executed a search warrant on Robinson's residence. During that search, police discovered a shell casing with etchings like the etchings found on the shells in the rifle near UVU.
That's the district attorney. One more clip from him.
Robinson's mother explained that over the last year or so, Robinson had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. She stated that Robinson began to date his roommate, a biological male who was transitioning genders. This resulted in several discussions with family members, but especially between Robinson and his father, who have very different political views. In one conversation before the shooting, Robinson mentioned that Charlie Kirk would be holding an event at UVU, which Robinson said was a stupid venue for the event. Robinson accused Kirk of spreading hate.
All right. That's the first clip I'm playing. That was a district attorney that's prosecuting the case. He's done giving you the motive for why he was killed. It was political. He didn't like it. He was dating a transgender. There's no way around that. That was their statement. Now, here's another clip I wanted to play. Here you go.
Now, listen to this. Listen to this exchange from Caitlin Collins to Ted Cruz.
You said a lot there, and we don't have a motive yet. We don't know yet. We're waiting. Obviously, we've heard what the governor's had to say, what the FBI director said today.
Of course we know. Come on, we don't have a motive yet.
We know.
We don't have a motive yet.
What's
really
happening with...
Really, that's CNN's position?
I mean, from law enforcement,
he just happened
Senator.
To fire the gun.
From law enforcement, we don't have a... You just heard the district attorney say this today. This is last night. This is Caitlin Collins after the district attorney press conference.
Celebration. You can't tell the motive.
Senator, that's not what I said. And I said law enforcement hasn't laid out a direct motive. They've laid out a lot of evidence here of these messages and what
actually
the shooter
said
to family members and to roommates.
They said that he was a left-wing activist who hated Charlie Kirk. Pardon?
Senator, with all due respect, you know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not arguing with you politically. I'm saying that law enforcement has not put a specific motive. You know that there's a difference of what they're putting in a legal
they
argument
have. That
than what you're talking
false.
About.
Wait. What they're putting in a legal argument is the motive, you idiot. Again, this is the district attorney chief law enforcement officer within the county, the district attorney, the prosecutor.
That was Caitlin Collins, a CNN, whatever that is. They call a journalist. I don't really call it a journalist, but we call it whatever you want. But right there, she's denying the motive that was told the day before. This is how the progressives work. I don't even want to say Democrats anymore, because I don't see a Democrat much. This is how the progressives think. They want to turn everything and twist it, just like everything else is twisted in the world today. So, I mean, how much more clear can you get? Well, I got another one here for you.
Talk about right-wing violence all you want, but if it's left-wing violence, there's got to be a butt-Trump angle. In fact, this is the conversation with Scott Jennings after the governor of Pennsylvania gave a both sides do it speech.
He's got a point.
Well, I think his point would be strengthened if he were honest today about who burned his house down. You know, it was a Free Palestine leftist who came and burned down the governor's mansion. He left that out. He left that out of his tweet today, and he's talking about cherry-picking political violence, and we're talking about where there might be political violence. The violence against the governor of Pennsylvania and his family came from the left. And so I think there's a rush by Democrats who want to be president in 2028 to try to turn. Somehow Donald Trump's friend gets shot, and now everybody wants to blame Donald Trump for it. I guess that's what you have to do to get elected president. As a Democrat,
we are not doing that sitting here. Okay, and Kate,
I'm
please
sorry.
Go ahead.
Is that not what's happening?
The governor's
people are point.
The governor's point is it doesn't matter where the violence came from.
I think it might.
It should be condemned.
Shouldn't it matter the motivations of the people?
It should be condemned regardless. Is the entire point of his speech.
But don't so you care about
here,
the motivations?
To sit here and suggest that somehow him not mentioning it was some sort of sleight of hand.
Of course it is.
Try to make it seem like it was.
I don't think his political party would accept
it. You missed the entire point of what he was saying, and it's.
See, none of them can allow Scott Jennings to make that point. Caitlin Collins can't talk about the motive of the left. It is their murder industrial complex. They will excuse it. And you know where they're headed with this, by the way. They're headed with this to this guy's a civil rights icon. That's right. They're already beginning to say Montel Williams last night on TV says he was protecting his trans partner.
And that is it. I'm going to have another clip, one last one in a minute to prove that point. But that is where they're headed with this. And I don't know where Montel Williams came from. When did he ever open again? I mean, the only thing I remember, he had a talk show at one time, and every Wednesday he had some psychic on there, and all she did was pick her teeth. And I'll tell you how good she was. She said that she told a mother on television that her daughter, Sylvia something was her name, Brown I think it was, she told her mother on TV from Cleveland, right up here, told her not to worry about her kid no more. Her kid's dead. She's been murdered. Not to worry about looking for her. And it was a little while later, they ended up finding her locked up in a house. And she was alive. I don't know how, I mean, I don't know where she claimed she got her gift from, but it wasn't from God, because God's always 100% accurate. He don't do guesswork. And all she did was sit there and pick her teeth through the whole show. I couldn't stand to watch her. She drove me nuts. But that's, and then, so you want me to listen to the words of a man that evidently believed in Sylvia Brown because he had her on every week on Wednesday. Tell me what I need to think. I'll pass. Here we go.
This is Matt Gutman, a reporter from ABC News, after the press conference. Again, thanks to Media Research Center for these two clips I'm about to play.
We have seen an alleged murder with such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on. Also, it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate, who is transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love.
By the way, you should note, he never said, I want to protect you. Matt Gutman made that up in the report. There's no text that says, I want to protect you. But Matt Gutman at ABC News claims that there's a text message that says, I want to protect you. It's I can't find it. Other people look, they can't find it. But wait, that was him after the press conference. Here he is later on, having had time to reflect on what he heard, not a spontaneous reaction.
It is. It's heartbreaking on so many levels, Kira. Obviously, Charlie Kirk was murdered brutally in front of a crowd of thousands of people who watched him being shot through the neck and then essentially bleed out in front of him. And I think one of the things that the attorney here made a very fine point about is that a lot of these charges, seven charges, were aggravated because children were present. Children witnessed this. Children were put in harm's way. And that was something that obviously is aggravating here, and that's one of the reasons that the suspect, in addition to the alleged murder being political in nature, is facing the death penalty. They're going for the death penalty. And on the other hand, there is this duality of a portrait of a very human person, a very human experience from this entire family. As you mentioned it, the mother who essentially discovered that it was her son who had done this, the kid who had got a 34 out of 36 on the ACTs, who had a 4.0, who got a full ride to college here, that kid was the one who allegedly perpetrated. She saw those pictures and said, identified him essentially. And then those text messages. And I don't think I've ever experienced a press conference in which we've read text messages that are A, so fulsome, so robust, so apparently, allegedly self-incriminating, and yet on the other hand, so touching. Right, with so the suspect touching. Reaching out to his roommate, who is allegedly his boyfriend, who we understand, identified as male at birth, now identifies as female, and the terminology he used. He was trying to protect him. He kept calling him my love. My reason for doing this is to protect you, but also asking him to delete the messages.
And like Eric said there, to protect you was never put in there. And they're making it out to be like some great love message was given. And it's the reason why he killed people, killed this man.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in today. Charlie Kirk, like him or love him, doesn't make no difference. He didn't deserve to die the way he deserved to die. For an opinion, for his views, and for the people. I knew we're getting close, but when I seen the people in this country, and I'm talking about half the comments on Facebook, if not more, were glorifying about his death, thinking he deserved death. We got a lady in Congress or Senate or whatever she's in, Omar. She don't need to be nowhere. She ain't worth 2 cents. Standing up talking about how bad America is. We're becoming, well, if you don't like it, move. We don't care. If I had the money, I'd buy you a one-way ticket. I don't care. But she's up there more or less talking about how hateful he was, and she don't know nothing about the man. She's either going on other people's rhetoric or some assumption she came up with herself. And people, he had a memorial today. Or what, today when you hear this, it was Sunday. Had a memorial. And there's people out protesting a funeral. Protesting a funeral. One woman was holding up a sign because Charlie Kirk's wife is pregnant, saying she hopes the baby dies. Now, with that being said, I'm going to end the show with where we're at in this country and in the world, for that matter. There's three things in the book of Revelation I never could under a lot of years. One was the mark of the beast. I couldn't figure out what it was going to be, being in the left hand or in the forehead, and how it was going to be. Well, let me tell you, that technology is already here. I've seen it. And it will be a tattoo. It's already here. They could implement it tomorrow. They won't, because they won't be out till the rapture takes place. But it's already here. For a fact. They could scan it like a UPC code. So, think on that one. Another thing I couldn't understand in the Bible for years, even though I knew it was true because I believed the Bible, but I couldn't understand what it was going to be. Was the Bible says that during the tribulation period, there'll be everyone will have to have an image of the beast in their homes, and they'll have to bow down and worship it. I thought for years, maybe I didn't like, I don't know, is it going to be a statue and the devil gives it power, or what is it, you know? It's AI technology. It's already here. There will be an image of the beast in the form of artificial intelligence in people's homes. I guarantee you that's what it is. For a fact, I know it is. It's here. And the other thing I couldn't understand, even though I know there are people cruel in the world, but I couldn't understand, I'm going to read these verses for you, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. I couldn't understand how people could be so cruel in the world as they are right now about this man's death. And in Revelations chapter 11, it's verses 7 through 11. And when they shall have finished their testimony, this is talking about the two witnesses, which we believe to be Moses and Elijah, but that's beside the point. You can believe whatever. I'm just telling you, it's about the two witnesses. The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and they shall overcome them and kill them. Talking about the two witnesses will die. And their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people in kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. They won't even allow them to be buried. They'll allow them to sit there and watch them. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and shall make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood up on their feet and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They'll be brought back to life after those 3.5 days. The point I want to make is them making merry, sending gifts to one another. We're here, people. The world's at the door. It's knocking. When I seen the people and the way they were acting, it just brought chills through my body. Because it brought that scripture. That scripture immediately came to mind. And I'm like, we're already there. And when you put the, when you add the mark of the beast being on these people and the people that take the mark are automatically devil-possessed, oh yeah, we're at the door. You can believe me, don't believe me. They didn't believe Noah. It don't matter to me. It's up to you. There ain't going to be many on the earth to make it anyway. Grown compared to the world's population. I'm just letting you know. I'm just giving you a chance to think about it. Reason something out for a change. If you got a mind to reason with. See, I used to think everybody could be helped. But they can't. When it comes to spiritual and physical, it's the same thing. The only way a person can be helped is if they want help. And some people, you just can't help. I don't deal with a person anymore unless the Lord deals with me to deal with them. Nobody, where people I work at, they don't even know where I go to church. I don't tell them. Because I ain't been felt, I haven't been led and don't feel led to say anything about it. There's some people you just can't help. You could preach to the walls came down, and they still wouldn't believe. There'll be people in the tribulation period still won't believe. People that have been taught the rapture all their life, when it happens, they still won't believe it. That's how some people are. They just can't be reasoned with. The Bible says, "Come, let us reason together." That's what God said, but some people can't be reasoned with anymore. Their minds have been completely shut off to God. They don't care. They don't have no notion for it. Oh, they might pray. They'll put on a little show, do a little yodel and whatever they do, and make a little motion of it, but there ain't nothing in it. God's not in it. He's not even there. Now, I want to end with this, and I'll tell you this. You can say I said anything on this podcast or any podcast that comes down the road in the future. You can go ahead and be free to say and twist my words all you want. But every podcast I do is saved. I keep it on a flash drive and I bring it to, if it's ever brought up, I will be glad to share what I really said. There is nothing I don't save. If you got any sense and you do any kind of audio files, you'll save yours too. I save everything. Ain't nothing. I've got videos that have been sent to me that I save just in case I need it. Think on that one. I keep everything. Ain't nobody going to incriminate me on nothing without some hardcore evidence. Because I just don't trust people. You got to know. There's nothing wrong with, wanting the best out of people. But you got to realize most of the time you ain't going to get the best out of people. People nowadays, they'll be like, well, I think everybody's just genuinely good. I don't. The Bible says in the last days it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. And what did God say about Noah's day? He said the thoughts of men were evil continually. People will lie to you, they'll steal from you. I don't like a liar. You lie to me once, and it takes a long time for me to ever trust you again. I'm not saying it can't be earned, but I'm saying it takes a long time. It ain't going to happen like in a day. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that against God. Some people think you forgive people, you got to hang out with them. That ain't what the Bible says. I can forgive anybody. I've forgiven people everything that's ever been done to me. I don't hate them. I don't have nothing against them. I hope I get their souls right, but that don't mean I'm going to hang out with them. I had a guy I've known for a lot of years. I went over to his house about 2 years ago. He started talking to me, and I could feel the seducing spirits all around me. I made a reason to get out of there, and as soon as I got out of there, I got home, blocked him on Facebook, blocked him on Instagram, blocked him on my phone number. I don't want nothing else to do with them. If they get right, I hope they do, if they can be helped. But I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't have to hang out with them. Nothing in the Bible says I have to. I have to love them. I don't have to hang with them. So you need to really start thinking about some things. And I'm going to have another show next. And the next one probably will be a teaching show unless something happens. From now on, the news shows I do will be something I hear in the news. I'll drop it. It may be a 10-minute podcast. I'm just going to cover that one thing and drop it. This one was my first one back, so it's a little different. Didn't know it was going to go this long, but it is what it is. If you don't, you can listen to it a little at a time or whatever. But as I've always said, that's the beauty of a podcast. There's some podcasts it takes me 3 days to finish listening because I listen to it a little at a time. But it's time that people start listening and start looking. If you don't want to believe, that's fine. That's on you. But start to wonder why the world's in the shape it's in. Wonder why we got school shootings all the time. They want to blame it on guns. No, it ain't on guns. They chose to take God out of schools in June of 1962. The number one problem in schools then was talking and chewing gum. A few years after that, guess what? Teen pregnancy went straight through the roof. You see, when you turn your back on God, you turn your back on God's protection. He don't have to cover you, protect you. That's something you don't know about God. He's not obligated to protect anyone that don't want nothing to do with him. Nowhere is it an obligation. In fact, or fact, the only way a person dies in the will of God's timing is if they're in the divine will of God. That's the only way. There's people that have cut their own lives short because of their own stupidity. Get out here doing 120 miles an hour and hit a wall. God didn't have nothing to do with that. He just didn't have nothing to do but protect them. People commit suicide. You think they died when God was ready? Come on, man. Reason. Use your brain. Goodness. There's people that have told me that. And I'm like, are you kidding? You think God had them put a gun to their head or had them swallow pills? Goodness alive. I got it. I had more sense than that at 10. And we got grown people that believe that. I mean, That's all I can tell you is think. I mean, the scientists of our world at the beginning of this year, scientists, people that know how the world works, okay? They started a clock called the Doomsday Clock after World War II. They don't see the world getting better like some of these quacks out here do that follow the entertainers and rejoice because somebody gets a participation award at the Emmys. They see it as reality. They see the famines. They see the play, the wars, how we're tilting on the edge of a knife. They see things like that. Now, they're probably wrong because they're doing it through the wisdom of men. Matter of fact, I'm sure they are. But at the beginning of this year, they set the clock the closest it's ever been since the Doomsday Clock existed. 30 seconds to midnight. And these are men that aren't even looking through the Word of God. And they got enough sense to know something's wrong, something's off. And if you can't see it, you need to get somewhere and really start thinking and worrying about yourself. Because you're in a mess. And you're really going to be in a mess if you don't get it figured out. That's all I got for tonight. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I think. But either way, I got to get up soon, take my kids to school. But hey, I let them go to bed, then I do this. I had some things I had to get together before I started and everything. So I'll be all right. I can go on less sleep than most folks can. But I do hope you continue to listen to the podcast, continue to hear what I'm saying, even whether it be news or whether I'm teaching the Bible. I teach it with simplicity. I try to get you to understand. It's up to you. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't care who they are. My worst enemy, I wouldn't go to hell. God could come down to me right now and announce, hey, if you go down to hell and get Hitler out, he's got a chance to get saved. I would go. Because of eternity, I have more reality over hell than I have over heaven. Because I know how real hell is. Not to say I believe heaven's real, and I know it's going to be great, and there's certain aspects of it I can imagine to a certain degree, but hell is a reality to me. Just like I know that when you go to heaven, all your memories are washed away. Guess what? When you go to hell, you keep every memory you ever had. Nothing's washed away. Every time you had a chance to receive Christ, it'll be before your mind every time. Every wrong thing you did to someone, it'll be in your mind. You'll never escape it for eternity. I look forward to mine being wiped. There's things I don't want to remember. That's the blessing for the Lord. Even God's going to wipe his own mind. How do you think he's going to have hell for all eternity and not work? When it's all said and done, a thousand-year reign on earth is over with, he's going to wipe his own mind. He's not going to give hell another thought. That's how he can do it. People say, well, how could there be a hell with a loving God? Well, first of all, God didn't create hell for you. He created it for the devils and his angels. But it's enlarged because man failed. And God don't send nobody to hell. You send yourself to hell by your own choices. He made a way of escape. And people say, well, I didn't ask him to die for me. No, you didn't ask him to. But did you know if he didn't bother coming at all, you'd be doomed in the first place with no choice? Have you ever thought about that? There'd be no way of escape. You'd be born in this world, born doomed to go to hell because you would have no redeemer. At least you got a choice. If you make the wrong choice, that's on you. But at least you have the choice. People wonder why I have such a responsibility that I want my kids to know the truth. Good Lord, have mercy. Why wouldn't I? They've got to choose. That's true. But I want to give them the opportunity to have the right choice before them. It's funny. We'll think about all the clothes and all the food we can buy and all this we give them and stuff and kids. And we all want to treat them good. And I'm not saying people don't love them, but they don't love the soul. If they did, they'd be teaching them right. And they'd be showing them the way. That's just a fact. They might love the human of them, and I'm sure they do, but they don't love the soul. Because that soul's what's eternal. That's what's going to live on. And everybody don't get in. Jesus said, if you go any other way through him, you're a thief and a robber. There is no other way to go into that gate but him. And it's through that Bible you'll get in. People that want to ignore the word of God, it's like me getting in a car tomorrow and going to just driving to California and don't use a GPS or a Rand McNally. And for those of you that are too young to know what a Rand McNally is, that's an almanac. It used to be have maps in it. It's not an artist. It's an actual map. But that would be like me ignoring that. No, you have to have the map. That's what the Bible is. And it's where the only way through it is that. Because Jesus was the Word made flesh. And you have to get into heaven through the Word. That's it. Plain and simple. I don't know of any simpler way to put it. I mean, if people can't get that, I don't even know. I throw my hands up and say, I'm done. I had to do that to a guy one time in a parking lot. Was trying to give him the word. Spent about 10 minutes talking to him. Every time I gave him the word, he'd dispute that, give him the word, dispute that. Finally, I said, man, if you can't take the word, I ain't got nothing else to give you. And I turned on my heels and walked off, never said nothing else. Left him standing in a parking lot. You can't help people if they don't take the word. There's nothing for them. It wasn't written by one person. It was written by the Holy Ghost through the lives and the minds of men. It took 1,500 years to write that book. It didn't happen in a day. It took 1,500 years from Genesis to Revelation for that book to be written. And people give no regard to it. No second thought to it. Never even consider it. No. Turning your back on that book is the same as turning your back on Jesus. And with that being said, I hope y'all have a blessed day.